Hello and welcome to another episode of the Daily Remedy Podcast. Today we're here with Dr. Samanth Virk. Dr. Virk is a neurologist trained in interventional spine and pain management who founded the startup MediSprout. MediSprout connects doctors with their patients using secure two-way video on a platform that can be downloaded onto a smart device or desktop. It promotes continuity of care by keeping doctors and patients better connected between visits, providing an easy way to refill prescriptions, review test results, ask questions, or simply check in on a care plan. And with that, I'd like to welcome Dr. Virk.
Hey, Jay. Thanks. Thanks so much for having me.
Congratulations on your success as a physician entrepreneur. It's not easy to do in this day and age. Tell us your story. How did you conceive of MediSprout, and what tractions and successes have you achieved since starting it?
Jay, you know, I started MediSprout years ago. Company officially started in 2014, but in my head, it started before that. You know, I was practicing as a physician for years, nearly 15 years. And I guess as you're kind of doing that over time, you start to notice things. What once seemed to be like a really glamorous and fun profession where you felt like you're helping people, you start realizing some of the idiosyncrasies that for me, those issues were things I was no longer willing to accept, the status quo of how I was seeing patients, the lack of communication. I felt like in my practice, I was not just compromising myself and my belief in my profession, but I also felt like the technology around me was making things harder and not easier to do the things that were most important to me, which was namely seeing my patients. So that status quo for me was becoming onerous, and I wanted to change things. I wanted to make things better. I saw telehealth at that time, nobody's really doing video either personally or professionally. But I saw the ability to communicate with my patients through telehealth as a way to improve communication between me and my patients. So I started using telehealth at that time, and MediSprout was born.
Interesting. We hear a lot about physician burnout, administrative workloads, and the lack of direct patient care.
Right.
It's hard to understand that unless you're going through it day by day. Can you maybe go through a typical day before you started MediSprout and what kind of led to that discontentment?
It's pretty straightforward. I think it's something that patients and providers can relate to. You're rushing through your day to see as many people as possible. The number of times I'm sitting in an exam room for a patient for whom I was allotted 15 minutes or 20 minutes, but needed 45 minutes, it was stressful because you're face to face with the patient, right? No one else in healthcare sits in an exam room face to face with people who are going through life-changing issues. And when you're sitting in that exam room with that patient, all the other stuff doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to you, to the patient, obviously. And for those few minutes, it doesn't matter to you. But once you walk out that room, the whole world comes crumbling down on top of you. What's the reimbursement? What's the code? You're late in seeing your next patient. There's somebody calling from the hospital. This insurance company needs an approval. Pharmacy is calling with a prescription to be authorized, and all of a sudden you're feeling inundated. So when you go through a day like that where you're compromising, you're trying to help people at their most vulnerable time, but at the same time balancing all of these administrative needs, it takes a massive toll on your psyche.
And so then comes MediSprout, almost a solution to this problem you're facing directly. Tell us a little bit about what MediSprout can do on a day-to-day basis, again, like you had just mentioned, in helping physicians just like yourself and patients like the ones you were seeing.
When we created MediSprout, it was way before COVID. And the things that I think people realize now about telehealth, you know, we saw them a long time ago. It was about some of the things that you mentioned, right? Seeing, answering patient messages in a more timely way. Being face to face with them for questions that they had, prescription refills, being able to ask somebody some questions before refilling a prescription. It filled in gaps in care. Because when a patient walks out of your office, it's not like their healthcare ends, right? So I created MediSprout to be that bridge in between visits, so you and your patients could still have a connection. Patients felt like they still had access to you because they need you. But also importantly is the aspect of reimbursement, right? The time that I was spending as a clinician managing those patient needs was a lot of time. And, you know, the ability to be able to bill some of that time was important as well.
So we talk about this before offline, and you referenced a couple of articles that I thought were really interesting. One of the articles, which I'm referencing in the link on the podcast page, is titled, right, "Will Remote Patient Monitoring Be a Lifeline or a Liability?" And it implies that a lot of these proposed solutions could potentially be problems in and of themselves. As you're suggesting the features MediSprout can provide, it seems like obvious solutions, but in healthcare, there's a funny way where what's obvious turns out to be quite counterintuitive. Talk a little bit about some of these things that you've noticed where solutions are actually problems in disguise and what you've done to overcome that.
I think that health technology has a lot to offer. Digital health, there's a lot of potential. Unfortunately, as we've seen, it hasn't met that potential. And one of the reasons is because many of the people that are creating and designing digital health solutions put an unnecessary burden on medical providers in order to achieve their business needs. I'll give a great example. Just last week, I was speaking to somebody who was building a solution for EMS workers to be able to handle needs of patients with chronic conditions in between their emergency calls, right? So the idea was, you have an EMS worker who's sitting in an ambulance, and rather than sit in the ambulance, what we're gonna do is send them to follow up with a diabetic patient to help them with their blood sugar issues. And I looked at the guy and I said, do you know how much stress EMS workers are under? And you want to now take their time in between emergency calls where they're extracting people from vehicles and taking people with heart attacks to the hospital, and you want them to manage diabetic conditions. But I think this is one example, but I think this sort of thinking about, hey, let's get providers or, you know, the staff in a medical office to be able to, you know, meet our digital health metrics, so that we can show we're running an amazing business, rather than giving us technology that takes workload off of our table. And I think that's a major issue in the way that digital health solutions are being created. I think it's changing a little bit, but for me, it was one of the motivations to create MediSprout and to do what we're doing today.
I love that example because it shows clearly how common sense gets lost when you have so many external pressures like financial metrics coming into play. How do you overcome that? How do you align the financial and the clinical so you keep common sense in medicine and you keep the patient first and foremost?
Yeah, when we created the telehealth solution, the idea is to be a very cost-effective solution that helps, you know, the solution was designed for medical practices, right? So people would always say, oh, we'll just use Zoom or we'll use Skype at that time. Or I'd say, well, you know, using Skype or Zoom is the equivalent of using like an off-road vehicle on a high-end, you know, Formula One racetrack, right? It's not efficient, right? So what we did is we designed the technology to help that the people in the office work as a team effectively and efficiently, so that we took the burden of many kind of common things off their plates, but we also made it cost effective for them as well. We tried to make it easy so that they don't have to feel, you know, the pressures of today's digital health technology and the cost infrastructures that make it difficult to swallow. So both from a workflow standpoint, we really thought it out with my experience in healthcare. together with the cost infrastructure, tried to make both of those things a little bit different than other technologies are being created.
It's interesting you mentioned the cost structure, because it's difficult for people who are not actively developing technology to appreciate the interface of clinical medicine and technology as it pertains to actual behavior. But it's that behavior that becomes a form of a cost driver. What is a practical and a cognitive lesson you've learned in actually building technology that gets lost in this sort of jargon soup of technology and healthcare integration?
I think that one of the lessons I've learned, especially moving from clinical medicine into entrepreneurship, was as a clinician, we lose our sense of creativity. We become very beholden to the confined lines of thought that are created for us by all of the regulations we are dealing with all the time, right? We unfortunately, in order to survive, we start viewing our patients as, bullet points of clinical criteria rather than people, right? When I left practice, I saw this very clearly because I had the ability to actually look up and be creative and think outside the box and try to help figure out how can we use technology to free our clinicians up to be creative again, to connect with patients on who they are, what they want, and what they're looking for. I think there's a huge disconnect. And that's one of the kind of cognitive lessons that I learned when I started the company in terms of what I wanted to accomplish with technology. I think we have, our most powerful clinical resource isn't a technology, it's our medical providers. And if we can align technology to allow them to utilize the skill set that they trained so hard and so long for to connect with patients, I think we'll be much better off as a healthcare system, as a society. People will be much they'll get their healthcare needs addressed more effectively. I'm trying to bridge that gap and use technology to, again, go back to that idea of helping our most valuable clinical resource do their jobs more effectively.
Well said. Metasprout has enjoyed quite a bit of success, and I'm sure a lot of it has to do with your hard work. But in terms of pilot studies, early adoption, and traction in the startup world, notably appearing in outlets like Startup Health, you've done an amazing job, and Metasprout has done an amazing job in establishing itself in a pretty difficult space. Can you provide some practical lessons for what it takes to achieve traction in the health startup world? I imagine it's a combination of your own personal credibility and the capabilities of the company itself.
Jay, when I started it, I went in as, I'd never done anything besides practice medicine before, I thought, the novice was like, I'm just going to build technology. And of course, people are going to want to use it because it's going to help them. I think the thing I realized was there's lots and lots of grinding. You're constantly trying to figure out how to get people to buy into your vision and to believe in your product, right? Because in the end of the day, it's not about the solution. It's not about the technology. It's not about anything digital. It's about changing people's behavior. And in healthcare, it's particularly hard because the line that we heard from so many healthcare organizations and so many providers was, hey, I'm really busy. I don't have time to digest anything new, nor do I have any interest. And that is where you have to grind. You have to find ways to not sell the technology, but you need to find ways to convince people that, hey, I should change the way that I'm working. And that's not easy. It takes lots of energy and it takes lots of time. There's a lot of, you have to also get ready for a lot of people saying no. it's a bit of an ego, there's a lot of, your ego gets squashed quite a bit, but but we believed in what we were doing and we kept with it. We found, you know, a few people that wanted to use what we created, and then a few more, and then a few more, and then COVID hit, and it really kind of grew a lot. There's a I don't know if you ever watched the movie Rocky, right? One of his lines is, you know, it's not about how hard you hit, it's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, right?
Yeah.
How much you can take and how much, you know, you can keep moving forward. That's how you make progress, right? You have to get ready to get hit. You have to get ready to fall down. You make mistakes, a lot of mistakes. You learn from them, but you make sure you take that learning and you reapply it to be better.
That's great advice for anybody in any walk of life. I want to touch on one word you mentioned, convincing, because I think it's interesting in the healthcare startup space. In the traditional entrepreneurial world, you hear a lot of clamor about how the product sells itself, or if you have a really good product, you don't need to convince people to buy it or use it, it'll sell itself. But convincing in healthcare is an entirely different dynamic. Why in healthcare, even when there is such a valuable product, does convincing need to take place? Why do we have to go through those processes?
I think it comes down to one of the things I just mentioned was the idea that most people in healthcare, they are busy. They are inundated with work. And I think the question is, or the eye-opening part of that is, or the convincing, I guess, is trying to help them understand, what are you busy doing, right? You know, helping show them the fact. I mean, it's, you know, the Annals of Internal Medicine did a study that shows that physicians spend 27% of their time with patients, right? 73% of their time is doing other stuff, usually on their EHRs, on their computers, on the phone, right? When you point out these things to them or provide awareness to, you know, there's a word we like to use in our company, it's called insight, right? Mm-hmm. Insight means data, it means information. And it's a fine balance of taking insight, taking data, and presenting it in a way that's relatable, that makes impact. And that's where kind of marketing comes in, right? So you're trying to open people's eyes to how they are behaving. And sometimes that resonates and people have that moment where they say, oh, really? That's what I'm doing? And that's where you have to try to capture people. So it's not easy to convince people, but with a combination of data and the right message, in healthcare in particular, where clinicians and healthcare organizations are so data focused and so focused on numbers and hopefully outcomes, we found that approach can be a good one.
Speaking of messaging, you write extensively on your company's website and various outlets like Medical Economics and Kevin MD about issues related to your company and healthcare in general. Does your writing have an impact on your company, or is it a way for you to express grievances that you're experiencing?
My writing plays a role in a couple of different ways. One is, it is an outlet for me personally. Even in my personal life, just writing things down on paper or typing them out gives me a sense of relief about something that I'm thinking about, maybe something stressful, something, you know, in terms of my schedule, in terms of time management. But, you know, when I get an idea in my head that I, with the articles that I've written for MediSprout and specifically to do with healthcare, they're usually at a moment of time where I feel particularly frustrated about something. And, you know, one of the things that we are doing at MediSprout and that is particularly frustrating to me is this whole idea of, one of the articles I wrote is about patient-centered data, right? To me, it is the most logical thing I can think of to do in healthcare to make things better for everybody. The way that we structure data and how it's focused. So when I think of patient-centered data and I think of how healthcare is operating today, I just want to write. I want to write about it. I want to tell people about it. So anyway, the personal side of it is one thing, but the educational side of it is another. How do I turn that frustration into a mechanism where I can let people know, like, hey, this is happening, and we should think about this. I think both of those things are reasons I want to write. And that patient-centered data piece is something that we are right now as a company, hyper-focused on creating, updating our product to transition healthcare organizations to focusing on patient-centered data rather than organization-centered data.
And for those listening, the article title, "There's No Patient-Centered Care Without Patient-Centered Data," and it's posted on the podcast page link, so you can read it when you get a chance. What's next for you and Metasprout? So you have this traction, you have the pilots. By all metrics, you are a successful startup. But healthcare is in a pretty unique space right now. It's still malleable from the pandemic. Are you guys trying to shape healthcare in certain ways? Or are you guys just trying to react to what you're seeing and provide what's best for your patient base?
Yeah. It's a great question. It's an interesting time right now. The way I see it is in 2013, 2014, we saw what was coming around the corner with telehealth and we planned for it. And, and it happened, right? I think it was going to happen regardless of COVID, but that just sped it up. And it's all about being honest with what you see and what you believe. And at that time, this is what I saw and it's what I believed. Communication had to be better. We could serve our patients better. So now extrapolating that story to where we are today, we're looking forward now today, right? So we created a great telehealth product. We grew during COVID. But one of the things that we realized was telehealth by itself isn't going to solve the problems that we have in healthcare. It's made things a little bit easier for people. So because we're an ambitious company and because we've learned a lot over the past few years, we have rebuilt our telehealth solution over the past year and a half now. We just released it in May, the updated version of it. But the goal is to be ambitious because now is a moment to be ambitious in healthcare. We don't have any more give in healthcare to accept, lack of quality, high cost. So when I say be ambitious is rather than create a solution that makes our problems more efficient, right? Or rather than create a one-dimensional telehealth solution, we are believers that the idea that until we fix fragmented data, we cannot change anything about our healthcare infrastructure. So our new product, that is the ambition, is to create a new practice management solution that can replace EHRs that's focused around patient-centered data. And that's what we're working on. And we're in the process of building it right now.
Wow, that's impressive. And I like where your mind is at. I want to just challenge you with a practical question. And this is really from the experience of somebody who is observing a successful physician entrepreneur and has one of those, how did you do it type thoughts. How do you discern the difference between solving an existing problem in healthcare versus solving a problem that has yet to appear in healthcare as a startup?
Yeah, I think it's a great question because I think there's a lot of solutions that are, out there, and they make theoretical sense, but I think that's where having on the ground knowledge about how healthcare operates is important. And, the way that we do it, is through analysis, right? Mm. So when I talk about what we're doing now with, patient-centered data and creating the solution around patient-centered data, we did a lot of research. We've done a lot of research through the product that we had, through our customers, and through different healthcare organizations, both large and small. And we mapped out we literally mapped out the problems and needs of three entities: patients, providers, and healthcare organizations. And when we defined their problems and needs and stratified them, we saw that the common thread between all of those issues they were having was data fragmentation. If you can solve the data fragmentation, you can give a clinician a comprehensive view of who their patient is and what their healthcare circumstance is. You can allow a patient to go from one doctor to another doctor, and all their information travels with them, right? You can, you know, provide an insurance company everything they need, so that if there's ever a denial, all you have to do is say, here's all the information, and never again have to wonder, okay, well, there's no MRI in this report. There's no, you know, there's no information from your hospital visit, like, you know, 3 months ago, right? Like, all of those problems, you can then automate them and you can structure them. And then what you do is you take that 27% number that I mentioned earlier, the doctors are spending seeing patients, mm-hmm. and you can bump that up to, you know, 50, 60, 70% of time, because now the data that's being managed, they don't have to worry about it. Wow. You know, if I'm, you know, a clinician in my office and there's an authorization needed, right? The information is there. I don't have to justify it anymore, right? And so anyway, point is, we do it through real analysis and research. And that's how we came to the conclusion, this is a real problem. And we need to find a way to solve it. But I think there's a lot of people that go out and they have a subjective problem, right? They have a doctor's office visit, or they have a family member that has a problem, but it doesn't mean it's a problem across the whole system.
Right.
And then they start creating solutions for things like that. It may not be as effective.
It's interesting you characterize your problem in this way, because it reflects a lot on how you develop, and kind of using a technical term, the value proposition for Medisprout. For aspiring physician entrepreneurs today, explain what a value proposition is and how you strengthened and developed your value proposition for Medisprout.
A value proposition is, you know, the benefit that the person for whom you're creating a product is going to realize, right? What is the benefit for that individual or that group or that entity that you're creating the product for, right? And if there's no overt, and that benefit could be cost, it could be efficiency, it could be just, you know, some kind of a, you know, dopaminergic, like, you know, satisfaction that people get. But the point is, you have to have something defined with which that target is going to gain a distinct and clear benefit, right? In our case, we've defined the value prop. By creating this new technology, we will massively reduce the technology cost overhead for healthcare organizations and medical practices. We've mapped out how clinical care will improve, right? We will create efficiencies, right? And efficiencies means cost savings, right? So we've mapped out where we can make cost savings, right? So we have a two-pronged value proposition, saving costs from saving overt costs from a technology standpoint, and efficiency-based value, where they save costs from the way they're running their organizations, right? So that's the value prop. You have to think about that. That has to be front and center. I can do all the research. I can come up with a problem if I want. If there's no value prop to it, no one's going to take it. No one's going to buy it.
Well said. I want to leave the audience with a pivotal question on how they can get a hold of you. So let's say somebody's listening and they're interested in collaboration opportunities with Medisprout. How can they get a hold of you? How can they begin working with Medisprout?
You can contact me directly. Just email me. I don't know, my full first and last name, SamantVirk@Medisprout.com. Or you can message our support. We have our own support team. support@medisprout.com. They know where to find me. And yeah, we are right now in a growth phase, and we're about to go out for another fundraise. We'll be bringing people on. So anyone who wants to work with us, any new customers who want to use our virtual care solution, which we just released, which is based on Web 3.0. The patient-centered data side of it is just off the ground with that. Love to work or talk to anybody that has questions about it.